Welcome to the Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. For over 10 years, Dan has been helping AM 1160 listeners. With so many companies to choose from and hundreds of loan options, the mortgage process can be confusing and costly. Be sure to listen each day for Dan and learn the difference between FHA, VA, and conventional loans. You'll also learn how to negotiate lower interest rates and fees, as well as steps to buying your first home and whether refinancing makes sense. Stay tuned to find out why Chicago's top realtors are choosing Dan Frio.
Welcome back to the Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. I, of course, am Dan Frio. I'm here with my buddy, Terry. And our conversation on the way here was, you know, I don't know what you don't know, and you don't know what you don't know.
Right.
I guess that's going to be the preference of the show. So any questions you have, and guys, this isn't scripted. So if we start, and dead silence, you know that we just kind of got stumped. So we're just going to just talk on air and see where this thing takes us. Yeah. So,
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
We're roughly about the same age.
Yeah.
And I meet with a financial planner and we talk about retiring and things like that. And I was actually talking to him and it kind of made sense. And I think I ran this past you before. You know, I have, I think, under 10 years left on my mortgage.
Yeah.
And, you know, my thing is, I want to retire in 10 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, my thing is, do I pay it off and retire and then downsize and sell it and downsize and move along that path that I've taken? Or, you know, he made the comment that if you got less than 10 years, what difference does it make?
Yeah. I struggle with the same question, believe it or not, because it's like I always look at it in two ways. Everybody's like, well, you have the write-off. Okay, you have right. The write-off of the interest. However, you're still paying interest. Right. You know, so, you know, I guess the what did they here? I'll you asked me the question, so I'll kind of answer the way I would answer. Did he give you an answer? But don't say it.
Yeah, he did.
He did. Okay. So here's my thought process. So let's say on my mortgage, I have a 4% rate and I have probably 14 years left or something like that on mine. So it's like, okay, I hope to retire in, you know, 60. And, you know, at that point, I'll still have a mortgage. Do
Did
I pay
you say
it off?
2060?
Yeah.
Holy moly.
Yeah. It's just around the corner.
We're really not the same age then.
So, you know, do I pay it off? Or the back of my mind is my rate's 4. Mm-hmm. I'm writing off the interest and everything else. Instead of paying that off, can I take that money and put it in the market or investments to earn more than that 4% or what the 4% after tax would net me and just keep the mortgage? You know, because then it's growing over here at 5 or 6%. I'm paying a mortgage at 4, which has a net after effect of taxes of 3. That's what I would do. I would keep it in investments and have that cash available to me. I'm a cash king guy, and then just keep paying the mortgage, knowing I have enough set aside to pay it off if I need to, but, you know, go from there. Right. So what was his answer, I guess?
His answer was why he answered it with this question of why do you want to pay it off?
Okay.
He goes, if take that money, he definitely recommended if I could or to get a 10-year mortgage, or even get a 15 or 20-year mortgage, lower my payment,
yeah,
and then use that extra money for other things.
Got it. But and he said that because of your rates higher than the market now on the 15. Okay,
yes.
But if your rate was the same, just keep the mortgage in essence.
Right, right. Keep the mortgage.
Okay,
he said don't.
That's,
he goes, then that's the mentality of it is. You know, everybody thinks got to pay it off, got to pay it off, got to pay it off. And he said, why?
Right. And was his analogy, I guess, that you could take that extra money, the money that you would have put against the mortgage, you could have it in the market growing and have also cash availability.
Right.
My biggest thing is, in that is, you know, I saw my house go up, you know, a couple $100,000 pre-market crash. And then crash, you know, you had, and here's, I advise a lot of people to take out and this is contrary to a lot of teachings, is take the maximum mortgage term, have the lowest payment you can, especially with the rates the way they are today, mm-hmm. and that extra money that you could have, would have, maybe should have applied to the mortgage, save it or pay down those 28% interest credit cards. You know, so you know, take a 30-year mortgage, but then they're like, well, you know how much money you're paying back in the long run. Well, yeah, but if you could get that rate at, you know, 4 or 5%, the lowest ever in history.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's a great question. So it was interesting in, you know, how he said that. I know in your case, I don't know if you want to talk about it, but you know, other things that were going on when we spoke, you know, everybody has, I always say this, God throws everybody curveballs.
Right.
How bad's that curveball going to be thrown at you? And that's, you know, I hit it, you're hitting it now kind of in life a little bit. I hit it 10 years ago, but you know, do you want to share that story?
Sure.
Okay. If not, we're just going to yeah. sit here and look at each other.
Yeah. No. Okay. So back in October, I was diagnosed with multiple myeloma cancer. And so I took a leave of, I thought what I was doing was taking a leave of absence from my work. I've been at the company for 15 years. Jeez. And they let me go. While I was in the hospital, they let me go. They decided not to keep me. They removed my position. And I called you up shortly after that talking about, you know, there's a rule of thumb out there that says if you're married and your husband and wife are working, you want to have a safety net of 3 months each salary. Mm-hmm. And if it's only one of you bringing in the breadwinner, then it's 6 months. And you know, that's where we're at right now is because I don't have a job. And I'm still haven't gone through, my cancer treatment yet. You know, we're worried about, you know, do what, if something else happens,
sure.
You know, and
what do you do?
You know, my son's going to graduate in May and we're all good.
Right.
You know, we had loans and stuff like that, but we've paid them all off. And so then I have another son who's a sophomore in college. So,
yeah.
But again, if something happens to them or anything, you know,
right.
We don't have, because there's only one of us working, we don't have enough money to.
Right. And this is kind of going back down the avenue where I always said cash is king.
Right.
You know, you put your cash into the house, you make double, triple payments. Let's say one thing happens, we have another crash. Okay. You paid all this money down. So basically you just, I won't say you threw it away because you paid down on that mortgage. Now you just lost it all in the reduction of, you know, the markets. The next thing is if you go into that house, you keep plunking it down on the house. Many times it's hard to get out. Like for example, let's say in your case or somebody else's case that might be kind of similar to yours, you have a ton of equity in your house, but now you're down to one income.
Mm-hmm.
You can't refinance because you don't qualify. Now you're doubly stuck.
Right.
That's a good word to say about it. But that's why I'm always, you know, the cash is king. And I even think, I forget what the answer was with in your scenario, but I'm always, you know, I think what I might've said is, well, why don't we think about, you know, cashing out some monies, possibly even going to a 30-year term, bringing down that payment as low as you can get it.
Right.
And now you have, you know, you have extra cash flow because, you know, we reduce your payment by $500, $600, $700. Plus you now have that reserve of, you know, 6, 8, 10, 12 months in cash. I don't know if that was my answer, but that's what my answer would be today.
Yeah. That was the answer. And then,
okay.
Then you have that cash reserve in case something yeah. happens, you need a new roof, need a new furnace, something right. like that.
But somebody might come back and say, well, Dan, you're stretching out that loan. Well, yeah, but it's like, I always say, I don't know if you ever went to the David Ramsey's courses and stuff like that they have the churches. God bless him for doing what he does. But it's easy to be a financial planner when somebody is making a lot of money.
Right.
Because it's like, okay, you want to tithe and then you want to pay yourself.
Right.
And then you want to pay this. Then you want to double your mortgage payment. And then you want to put money aside for this. And then you want to put money in your kids' college funds. And I have a lot of people and I hate to say it this way and it, you know, not putting you on the spot, but there's a lot of people struggling right now to make their mortgage payment.
Oh yeah.
So now those are the ones I would like to help. And that's why I even reached out to the David Ramsey classes before and said, you know, can I come in after the fact and teach for those that can't follow that plan? So in, you know, kind of in regards to exactly what yeah. you were asking. And those are, you know, those are tough questions that I'll truly give you my honest opinion about.
Well, and again, that's what helped us. And we, like I said, because we didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
And we had just, because we were in the process of, my wife and I were talking about retiring. And yeah. we're like, you know what? If we keep working and everything keeps going along the way it is, you know, 10, 12 years, we're good. That would, that would put us like 60, 62.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden this hit us out of nowhere.
God throws those curveballs.
I'm telling you.
He threw you a doozy, dude.
On the way home after I was diagnosed, I was just like, something's going to break my leg. What's going to happen next?
Yeah. And I always say that, you know, it's God's going to throw you that curveball. It's how you react. Yeah. So, but we'll be back. I want to thank Terry for coming in. We're going to be back with the same conversation. But the reason why I asked him to come in is basically kind of get him out of the house. Please say a prayer for him if you would. You know, he has a lot of things coming up in life on his, you know, what he's got going on personally. And I hope you like the show. The show isn't, you know, it's trying to find out what you don't know, because you don't know what you don't know, and help us guide you through that process. Welcome back to the Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. I, of course, am Dan Frio. I'm here with my buddy Terry. So this segment, dude, here's what we're going to talk about.
What are we talking about?
Dads and mortgages.
Oh.
Everybody's tuned. They're turning up the volume right now.
All right.
Lester. So here we were just talking between breaks. And the things that these kids don't know, what we want to do is talk about, you know, if you have children, because probably parents listen to the station and shows. And I'm not taking no disrespect to anybody. But most of the time, the average caller that I have is, you know, somebody in their 40s or 50s or 60s. And then many times they'll call on behalf of their sons, nephews, daughters, coworkers, you know, other pieces of the puzzle. So, you know, we were talking just now, you know, the kids get out of college and you were just saying, you know, your kids had a part-time job and didn't
right.
know what to do with their paychecks.
Well, we were talking, they wouldn't know how to write a check.
Yeah.
And I'm like, mine know how to deposit it.
They
and
do know how to deposit.
They know how to, they'll take a picture of it.
Oh, gotcha.
And,
yeah.
And through their phone.
But they wouldn't know how to go to the
right.
bank and write
right.
out a deposit slip and go
right.
to the cashier. Yeah, I get
right.
it. So this comes around to, you know, they finally get to the point where, like my son, he filed his taxes, Marcus, he filed his taxes first time about 3-4 years ago. I had to walk him through. He's so ticked off because he didn't realize all the this and the that. And then they take out of my paycheck every month or every pay. And now I even owe more money.
Right.
So he's like, they don't teach you anything of any of this in school. You know, you just
right.
spent $100,000 or $200,000 or $300,000, you know, to put the kids through school. They don't know how to deposit or write a check. They don't know how to file taxes. So now you throw another curveball at them. They want to buy a house. Actually, my neighbor, one of their sons, is looking to buy a house.
Okay.
So he's supposed to be coming over to talk to me soon. He just graduated college.
Okay. So it's the parent that contacted you or the son?
Yeah, the parent contacted me.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so what do you tell a parent? Because my son is going to be graduated college this year.
Yeah.
And he knows that we kind of have a game plan, and maybe I'm wrong in having one, and maybe I'm not.
Yeah.
But, you know, he has a game plan that he's going to graduate, get a job, he's going to stay at home, he's going to save money,
yep.
and then he's going to buy the house.
Perfect.
And, but I guess the question to you would be, what does he have to be careful of? What does he have to look forward to? You know, don't open up every credit card application that he gets in the mail because he's graduating. He gets all these credit card applications now. You'll pay your debts on time. You know, because he's going to come home, he's going to have to buy, he's going to get a job, he's going to have to get a car. He's going to have to pay, we're going to make him pay us rent.
Yep. I do that with Marcus.
Okay. But in the same sense, and our goal is, you know, he's going to pay us that rent. And then when he says, okay, I'm ready to move out, we're going
to
give him that money back.
Yeah, yeah. I get it. That's kind of the setup we have with the rest of them. The first piece of the puzzle is, and I didn't intend this to be a mortgage question, but it was a good roll in, is credit. You know,
right.
I won't say nobody, probably 95% of the people who call me, the first question, and it's a setup question, I'll say, what's your credit score? Like if I ask you, what's your credit score? And you'd probably say 685, 720.
Yeah, minus 720.
So now I throw into there is, do you really know that you, and I'll ask you, TransUnion has 12 different credit scores, just TransUnion alone. They have a series. I won't bore you with it. Okay. But did you know that TransUnion, so when you say you have a 720,
right,
which score is it? TransUnion, Equifax, or Experian?
I believe it was Experian.
So is it the mortgage score or your auto score
It was my mortgage score.
Okay, but series 4, 8, or 9?
Couldn't tell you.
Gotcha. No, and I wasn't trying to put you on the spot.
And the only reason why I knew that, is because they told me that it's 720, that my credit was good. My credit was very good, except that in the last 12 months, we were late on our mortgage payment.
Gotcha.
Even though we paid it and we paid the penalty.
Yeah.
And because we're looking to refinance.
Yeah.
And so what we did is then instead of paying it on the 15th, we still have it paid on the 15th, but we have it automatically withdrawn.
Gotcha.
And just so we can get that good, consistent payment going, and the credit companies will look at that and go, oh, okay.
So just to go off of that a little bit, one of the sponsors of the show is creditscoresandmore.com. It's creditscores, plural, and more.com. I suggest every one of my clients who call in, I suggest they go here. And here's why. In that process, there's a step one that'll give you a free, it's like Credit Karma. It'll give you a credit score. Now, that score doesn't mean a hill of beans, honestly. It's a good, it's what's what they call a vantage score. It's an educational score.
Okay.
That's step one. The reason why I have people do that, it gives me kind of a gist of what their credit score is. So if it's like a 500, I know we got major problems.
Oh, okay.
If it's six something, we're okay. 700 and above, we should be fine. But it gives you credit monitoring. It gives you the cool thing about it. It has blogs and all kind of other things to teach you things. So now the second part of this is step two. It's you actually getting your credit score. I highly suggest everybody do this. Here's why. You just mentioned your credit score 720. Okay. That's one of 36 numbers. Okay. TransUnion, I'll just break it down quickly because we need to get to other sections. TransUnion has a series 4, 8, and 9. Okay. So TransUnion has three models.
Okay.
Under each one of those models is a credit or a mortgage score, a credit card score, an auto score, and an insurance score. So TransUnion has three models. Under each model is four different submodels. So TransUnion has 12 scores. So when I ask somebody what their credit score is, it's a 720. Well, of 36 numbers. So there's a lot of variables there. Your mortgage score might be 90 or 100 points lower than your auto score. So because you have a 720 credit score, it could be one of, you get what I'm saying.
Right.
So people don't know. So especially younger people, one, you should have a monitor. You should know your credit score or the realm of things. Most of the time they come out of school, like you said, your kids get every day five credit card offers.
Right. Right.
You know, they might have student loans. They might have this. They might have that. You know, they need something. So I would get that, at least that step one, the free system to monitor their credit, to teach them some things. You know, are they really going to pay attention to it? They might, because in this system, they get alerts every day. They get all kind of stuff, which is really cool. And they're into that. You know, they're into the automation part.
Right. Yep.
Okay, so that's enough of the credit stuff. The next thing of things is, here's what I see a lot of times, is you were saying, you know, save some money, down payment, and debts. They get out of school and 99% of them have student loans, but they're deferred.
Right.
So they don't think of the payments. Like I have one kid right now who is going to have to start paying in about 3 months. They've never had a student loan payment yet.
Mm-hmm.
So if they go to buy a house now, they're like, they don't even factor that in.
Right.
Well, you now factor that in. It could be $200,000, $300,000, $500,000 a month that you weren't paying right now.
Right.
That's one thing I'm always, you know, and again, 90% of the time when somebody's applying for a mortgage, they say, well, I don't have any debt. I now have learned because of the deferrals, well, do you have any student loans? Oh, yeah. How much? About $140,000. You know what that payment's going to be?
Yeah.
Do you realize that's going to be another $1,000 or $1,200 or $1,500 a month that you don't have today? So that's the first thing I would caution, your kids and my kids is, when those student loans come in, if they're you know, if they're fortunate, they're blessed enough they don't have them, then that's one, you know, piece of the puzzle they don't have to worry about. But they have them, I mean, that could be a detrimental piece of that puzzle.
That they have no clue.
Yeah.
That it's
no
there.
No clue.
Right.
And then the next thing is, you don't need a ton of money. You and I both know. I mean, you've knew me when I bought my first house.
Right.
You know, when my wife and I bought our first house, we put every penny down on that house. And I mentioned on a couple other shows is, I remember that we were thinking about getting groceries that night. We didn't have any money for groceries. So because we used every penny we had for the down payment. Yeah. So, you know, I always say, learn off of my mistakes. Yeah. So that's basically, you know, the credit piece, the payments, you know, have them watch the payments and have them, you know, save some money, because if they get in that house, you know, when's the last time your water heater broke or your furnace went out? Or, you know, in your case, you had water problems with the creek in the back?
Yeah, we flooded. So
I just had my basement flood.
Yeah. So I live in a flood zone, and we flooded in 2008.
Yeah.
And then we flooded again in 2010.
Yeah. So you never, like I said, God throws you those curveballs.
Yeah, and like, we live in an area that's supposed to be a 1,000-year flood.
Yeah, I remember. And you got it twice.
Twice in 10 years.
Yeah. It's like, what's going on?
We laugh about it, but now, you know, I just had my basement flood. It's like, yeah. God, dog.
But and it's a mess. And you know, we got, you know, slapped with the flood, but we had the flood insurance.
Yeah.
You know, so, and it was a big, and getting the money out of FEMA was a pain, but, you know, eventually everything worked out for it. But, you know, again, you know, something like what happened to you, you know, your sump pump didn't kick on. And it's like, you know, you never think about
that.
And
thank God I had insurance. Cause when I called the people to the mitigation company, they're like, you better check. Cause 80% of the people don't have, you know, sump pump insurance or whatever. And I did. Thank God.
Yeah.
So, well, we're coming to an end, guys. And thanks, Terry. Thanks for coming out today.
Hey,
God bless
my pleasure.
You, brother. This was Dads on Mortgages. That'll be the new show. I got to have you come every once in a while so we can do Dads on Mortgages.
Okay.
So, again, thanks, Terry, for coming out. If you would, say a prayer for him. He's got some things coming up in life that he needs some help with. If you don't mind, you know, giving him a quick prayer. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. Please make sure to come back tomorrow. If there's anything that you want to hear, please call me, email me, Facebook me, anything you want to do. I'd love to do a segment on some questions that you have, because I don't know what you don't know. So God bless, and I will be back tomorrow.
You've been listening to The Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. For over 10 years, Dan has been helping AM 1160 listeners. With so many companies to choose from and hundreds of loan options, the mortgage process can be confusing and costly. Be sure to listen each day for Dan and learn the difference between FHA, VA, and conventional loans. You'll also learn how to negotiate lower interest rates and fees, as well as steps to buying your first home and whether refinancing makes sense.